Hello, everyone. This is Elijah David Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic State Attorney Congregation outside the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is January 5, 2023. I'll receive at 14, 2026. We will start our first service today with a song.
Don't let that shit sail by, by Elijah David.
Don't let the ship sail by, lost and mean on the shore. But if that's enough, that mighty ship is standing by the door. Welcome all to come aboard, there's a room for many more. As the ship sets sail for the harbor, lights up that far off distant shore. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a payload for delivery in the sky. For the saints have all answered, are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Dreamed of lighted harbors, silver ships in the sky. Dreamed of someday sailing deep as that sweet dying light. Yes, I dreamed about those mansions Yah has gone to prepare. And I dreamed of Sunday evening, the loved ones in the air. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a payload to give her in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Don't let that ship sail by, while standing on the shore. Color up the sunbeams, take room for many more. For the captain of that mighty ship is standing by the door. For the welcome all to come aboard destination sailing shore.
Our main study is taken from track number 8 of E.T. Hollis, entitled Mount Zion at the 11th hour, that he wrote back in 1937 to 1941, and that's exactly 86 years ago. Mount Zion at the 11th hour. And E.T. Hollis, whether he realized it or not, that's the only word that he could use was the 11th hour. Because he was closer to the 11th hour than he was to the 12th hour, because he was in the 10th parabolic hour at the time he wrote this, in 1937. The 10th parabolic hour ended in 1970. So 33 years later, after he wrote this article, the 10th hour ended and started the 11th parabolic hour as well as W. Johnson and myself, 1970. So it says, for the Zion's sake, I'll not hold my peace, and for the Yahrushim's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Yeshua shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yeshua, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy father. Isaiah 62:1-2. Wonder of divine love, fruition of the exceeding precious promise, that Yahweh will continue speaking unto her until she become a great and powerful and resplendent light in all the world, and a crown of glory in the hand of the Yeshua, hyphen, the church is seen. So it's a purified church. This is not the Adventist church. This is the purified church of the house of David with the 144,000. And the Lamb Yeshua having come down from heaven and taken his place upon the throne of David in this kingdom of Daniel 2:44-45. And it's actually Yeshua that the Father sent to sit this kingdom up here with on the last day. Daniel 2:44-45. The everlasting kingdom of heaven, which shall never be destroyed or left to other people. They shall stand forever, standing with the Lamb on the Mount Zion, for the revelation of the Yahshua that the Yahweh gave unto him, for the showing unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1. This affirmation that the prophet revealed, that John was privileged to record, were to come to pass not before but shortly after his receiving of the revelation of them, that the prophecies of the revelation were to be fulfilled sometime during the New Testament period. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from the heaven as the voice of the many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and their elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Revelation 14:1-3. Prior unto this prophetic event, the standing of the 144,000 upon the Mount Sinai, a door was opened into heaven. And the first voice which I heard, says John, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set into heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed with the white raiment, and they laid the head on their heads crowns of gold, and before the throne there was a sea of grass like unto the crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of the eyes before and behind, Revelation 4, 1 to 4 and 6. Prior to this prophetic event, with the standard of 144,000 upon the Mount of Zion, a door was opened into heaven. And the first voice which I heard, says to John, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he sat, that sat was to look upon, like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and a sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in the white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of the gold, and before the throne there was a sea of the glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were the four beasts, full of the eyes before and behind. Revelation 4, 1 to 4 and 6. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odor which contained the prayers of the saints. And I beheld and I heard as the voice of many angels round about the throne, and of the beast and of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the receiving power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Revelation 5:8, 11, and 12. For the Lamb standing before the throne in heaven stands later with 144,000 on the Mount of Zion upon the earth. So the elders and the beasts round about the throne remain in the heaven. So quickly, for the understanding of this prophetic event in its entirety, we must carefully differentiate the part which takes place in the heaven from the part which takes place on the earth. For the seven lamps of Revelation 4:5, being a part of the sanctuary fixtures, gives the conclusive evidence that the heavenly throne scene occurs in the sanctuary, whereas the subsequent Zion scene, takes place upon the Mount of Zion. As it changed earthly tallest grounds, not upon the Mount Moriah, the sanctuary ground, where it would necessarily have to take place for it to denote that the event occurs in the sanctuary. For these scenes, therefore, are of the two different events. In the two different locations, in the sitting of the throne in the heaven, and in the standing of the redeemed with the Lamb on the earth, which earth in prophecy is in the United States, while the activities embraced in the throne scene are still in the progress. Moreover, the statement, "I will show thee things which must be hereafter," places with events and the apostolic, atypical apostolic period, and the statement stood as a lamb as it had been slain with the bleeding. Okay, moreover, the statement, I will show thee things which must be hereafter, places the events in the atypical apostolic period, and the statement stood as a lamb as it had been slain, bleeding in the sinner's behalf, places them in the probationary time and the last parabolic hour that we are in now, the 12th. Then from a confession of the Daniel 7, 9, 10, 13, with the Revelation 4, 2, and 5, 1, 11, already quoted, the fact is clear that both visions are of the same event, the judgment. That's the judgment first of the dead and then of the living. The judgment of the dead started in 1844, and the judgment of the living that started in 2003 at Trumpet, Texas. One reveals its occurring in the period of the nondescript beast's second stage after it, its horns, which had the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, have blasphemed after the reign of the ecclesiastical Rome, and before the beast was slain, and his body given unto the burning flame, Daniel 7:11, before Rome's destruction. And the other vision reveals a taking place sometime in the atypical apostolic period and within the probationary time that we are in now, the 12th parabolic hour. For the Daniel saw the thrones placed around and set up, and the Ancient of the Days, Yahweh the Father, as the judge sits, showing that neither he nor the thrones were there beforehand, evidently on the rest of the throne seats sat the 24 elders, and finally he saw the Son of Man, Yahshua, as the advocate, brought before the Ancient of the Days. Accordingly, both Daniel and John saw the judgment sit and the books open. And as John saw the 144,000 stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, after the judgment was said and before it was closed, the event coincidentally comes neither before nor after the judgment, but during it. And now remember that John's vision of the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, reveals Yahshua as a Savior, whereas his vision of the Lion of the tribe of Judah standing before the judgment reveals him as acting as a king. Correlated, they show that while he is then the Savior, he is at the same time as the King of Kings. It's now been clear as to when 144,000 emerged, increased interest follows as to who they are, seeing that they are followers of the Lamb, also sons of Jacob. They are therefore Israelites indeed, and not Gentiles. Whosoever has been converted unto the antipodal apostles, as Protestants, apostolic, accepting Yahshua as his personal Savior, has had an experience which has completely overthrown and revolutionized his former plans and hopes for his entire way of the life. He has renounced the world and all of its pleasures of the sin for a season, Hebrews 11:25, and has become a new creature in the Yahshua, born again, heir of the kingdom of the everlasting heaven, which is Daniel 2:44-45, which is the everlasting kingdom of David and Yahshua together. That Yahshua come and sit up here in the 12th parabolic hour here on this earth, here in the United States, with the house of David, according unto the promise. This is what the Yahshua meant when he declared unto Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Paul, having this experience in mind, said, if you belong unto the Yahshua, then are you the Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise, Galatians 3:29. Regardless therefore, whether one be Jew or Gentile, he can have no part in the everlasting kingdom of the Yahshua, Daniel 2:44-45. Saved through the second birth, by which he becomes one of the seed of Abraham, for this spiritual transformation nevertheless does not fix anyone facing facial identity, or does not spiritual transformation nevertheless does not fix anyone's racial identity and tribal lineage. It cannot, in other words, make one a Judahite if he is not descended of the tribe of Judah, or make him an Ephraimite if he is not a descendant of the 10 tribes of Israel in the north. Descended of the Ephraim, consequently the 144,000 being of the sons of Jacob, cannot be of the Gentile nation. They therefore, first of all, the lineal descendants of Jacob, true, though not necessarily of the present identifiable Jewish stock. For the 10 tribes, as the kingdom of Israel, were carried away and scattered throughout the cities of the Medes, 2 Kings 17:6, and so completely submerged in the sea of the life of the Assyrians of the surrounding nation, and assimilated that they were utterly lost sight of racially unto the human reckoning, similarly as the two tribes as the kingdom of the Judah were carried away into the Babylon, with only a few returning unto Jerusalem after the 70 years of their captivity was accomplished, as a multitude also of them lost their identity. Then, too, the early apostolic congregation made up of the 12 apostles and their convert was made up of the Jews only, that's the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, with Yahshua being in charge of it at that time when he first came, and he was placed in charge of the antitypical apostolic congregation, which is the 144,000. Then too, the early apostolic congregation was made up of the Jews only, as the apostles, the 120 in the upper room, Acts 1:15, and the 3,000 who were converted on the day of the Pentecost, Acts 2:41. And it says, "For all Jews," that's in Acts 2:41, "for all Jews, as were indeed virtually all those who were at a deity for the first 3.5 years after the crucifixion," Daniel 9:26-27, Acts 2:47, "and even after this period was over and the apostles were commissioned for the taking of the gospel unto the Gentiles," Acts 13:46, "many more Jews became anti-apostolic believers and converts, and subsequently as the apostolic Protestants rather than as Jews were scattered among the nations." As well as they were scattered among the Gentile nations. "Truly therefore, in each instance, most of the sons of Jacob lost their racial distinctiveness, as Yeshua, however, has ever kept the genealogies of all nations, especially of the sons of Jacob." "He will, as he has promised, make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her, as Yahshua shall count when he rideth up the people, that this man was born there." Selah. That's in Psalms 87:4-6. "Thus just as obvious, as strange is the fact that no one today but the recognized Jew can vouch for his ancestry, with the result that 144,000 can be gathered from almost every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and yet be of the sons of Jacob. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the word of the prophecy in this connection, that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people that shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Petra and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from the Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of the Egypt. And ye shall be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel." Isaiah 11:11, 12:27, and 12. Chapter 27 and 12 of Isaiah. "Since therefore historic logic or history logic and scripture combine their evidences for the proven unconditioned that the Yahweh has preserved the genealogy of the chosen branch of the human race forward from the Adam unto Noah, Matthew 1:1-17, and backwards, from Yahshua and Adam." Okay, Luke 3:23-38. "He must then, for a consistent reason, also have preserved the identity of the elect today, and this we see is precisely what he has done in his designating of the lineage of the 144,000 as of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Revelation 7:4. "And though we know not what we are and cannot ever of ourselves tell the one who knows all about us, even unto the last hair of each head, knows our precise ancestry, although those of us who are to be gathered from the seed of Jacob are, says the prophet, as the sand of the sea. Whereas, comparatively speaking, the identifiable Jewish race of the day is but a handful for the nations, and therefore cannot today be the ones unto whom apply the terms Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph. Going back for a moment unto the historical approach and to our subject, we recall that after Solomon's death, the Israelite nation, as the 12 tribes, was divided into the two separate kingdoms. First, Kings 11:11-12, chapter 12, verse 19-27. For the 10-tribe kingdom occupying the northern portion of the promised land was called Israel, also Ephraim, and occasionally as the house of the Joseph, Israel, because of its category of the tribes Ephraim. Isaiah 11:13. Because of the ten of his kings that came from the Ephraim and Joseph, Ezekiel 37:16. Because he was the father of the Egyptian, and the two tribe kingdom occupying the southern portion was called Judah, because his kings were of the tribe of Judah, and therefore his descendants are called Jews. For the term Israel accordingly often applies only unto the 10 tribes. So when henceforth in these pages the reader comes upon the term Judah, Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph, he will understand precisely who they are designating, and will then, as we proceed, better understand Yahweh's plans for the ingathering of the 12 tribes of Israel, and for the recruiting them in the one great everlasting kingdom of heaven that is set up there in Daniel 2:44-45, that will never be destroyed left to other people, and it's called the everlasting kingdom of David, that Yahshua comes and sits upon the throne of his earthly father David. And you find that information in the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8 and Luke 1:32-33. For the kingdom of the heavens, said the Yahshua, is like unto a grain of the mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Matthew 13:31-32, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Yahweh. Hosea 1:16. For the hearing of Jacob's teaching, then rejecting them and crucifying them. The Jewish nation brought upon their heads the doom which the Yahweh pronounced upon them when through his prophet he declared, "You are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh." Though at the same time, in his great mercy, he let the promise be written in the place where it was said unto them, "Ancient Israel, you are not my people." There it shall be said unto them, "Ancient Israel, you are the sons of the living Yahweh." See Romans 9:24-26. So happily the same people, Israel and Judah, who were set aside and scattered, will in that day, our time, be reaccepted and gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. Hosea 1:11. Having abode many days without a king, their locks from the days of their captivity in Babylon, even unto this very day, for the children of the Israel shall afterwards, sometime in the future, mentions the scripture, return and seek the Yahshua, their father, and David, their king, and shall fear the Yahshua, that's the son of Yahweh, and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 3:4-5. Very as David, as the king of the ancient Israel, had been dead for many years when this prophecy was made, and as it has never been fulfilled, he was a type of the David to come. He was a type of the David to come. Accordingly, it is those who fear the Yahshua and his goodness as the antiquated apostolic Israelites in the latter days, our time, who shall appoint the one head or king as the antiquated David. For a complete study of the Hosea 1 and 2, read our chart number 4, the latest news and other, from the clear-cut facts in the preceding paragraphs, we see that the children of the Israel, dispersed and without a king these many days, and to return not as the Jews, but as the antiquated apostolic Protestant believers, or Hebrew Israelite believers, this consolidation of the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, is set forth in the symbolism by the two joined stick. Thou son of man, says the Yahshua, take thee one stick, and write upon it for the Judah and for the children of the Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for the Joseph, with the stick of the Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one unto another into the one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph that is in the hand of the Ephraim, and the tribes of the Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on the every side, and during them I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on the every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of the Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, and with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all of their dwelling places. Therein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto the Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:16-25. For this illustrated prophecy scarcely needs to be interpreted, as it is virtually self-explanatory, showing that the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, Judah the two tribes, Israel the ten tribes, will yet be gathered from among the heathen, among whom they are. This illustrated process sure needs to be interpreted, as it is virtually self-explanatory, showing that the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, will yet be gathered from among the heathen, among whom they have long been scattered, and that they will become again one great nation as a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44. Moreover, saith Yahshua, I will make a covenant of the peace with them, where it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary, that's the tabernacle of David, in the midst of them forevermore. For the tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their king, and they shall be I'll be their king and judge and savior and redeemer by my blood, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, Yahshua, do sanctify Israel, the 12 tribes put back together, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 37:26-28. Since Yahweh says that he will multiply them when they again become a kingdom, and that the heathen shall know that I, as Yahshua, do sanctify Israel, and since he can neither multiply nor sanctify after the close of probation, for the two ancient kingdoms must necessarily then be restored and consolidated during the probationary time, in the times of the restitution of all things. And that's found in Acts 3:19-21. For the 144,000 being as the first fruits, there must therefore be as the second fruits, for where there is the first, there must also be the second. And as the first fruits are the servants of Yahweh, they must subsequently be sent unto all nations for the gathering of the second fruit, Isaiah 66:19-20. That is the great multitude, Revelation 7:9. As a great multitude, Revelation 7:9, which John saw after the viewing of the ceiling of the 144,000, for a detailed study of this subject, with the 144,000, and the great multitude, see our chat number 1, pre-11th hour extra, as a shepherd rod, with the shepherd rod volume 1. For the fact that in their mouth was found no gall, Revelation 14:5, plainly goes to show that they are for the proclaiming neither but the pure gospel truth, and makes their words as authoritative and as mandatory as the written words of the prophets and of the apostles. Indeed, these first fruits are invested with the even greater power and authority in that day, says the Yeshua, will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be okay. For the fact that in their mouth is found no God, Revelation 14:5, plainly goes for the showing that they are for the proclaiming nothing but the pure gospel truth, and make their words as authoritative and as mandatory as the written words of the prophets and of the apostles. Indeed, these first fruits are invested with the even greater power and authority, and that day shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahshua before them, Zechariah 12:8. Also on that day, further said Zechariah, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of the David and unto the inhabitants of the Yahushua for sin and for uncleanness, Zechariah 13:1. When this fountain for the sin and for the uncleanness is finally opened unto the house of David, as the crowning evidence will be seen that the consolidation of the two kingdoms is an accomplishment fact, and that the time has come for the proclamation of the gospel into all the world. And this shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua of the host, and that's the Son, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land, Zechariah 13:2, that is, at the time that this gospel proclaiming kingdom is set up, it will be a pure church without guile, free from all idolaters and false teachers, and it shall be fed by the one shepherd, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahshua, will be their Yahweh, and my servant David as a prince among them. Ezekiel 34:23-24. When the Yahshua thus takes the reins in his own hands, testimonies with the ministers, page 300, and again rules the purified church of the 144,000, starting off as a theocratic government, and the last day, this shall come to pass, as says the Isaiah, that the mountain of the Yahshua's house That would be the mountain of David. Mount Zion at the 12th hour, that's your mountain, shall be established, and the top of all the mountains, and shall be exalted among the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of Yeshua, and unto the house of the Yahshua of the Jacob, or the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of his Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahshua from the Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and shall rule among the people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2:2-4. So with the ushering in of the everlasting kingdom and the consequent restitution of all things, there shall be on the one hand a great awakening among the nation, scrapping vast stores of war implements, which they have for years been laying up. They shall seek to go up and to become subjects of the everlasting kingdom of Daniel 2:44-45. That's the everlasting kingdom of heaven and of David and of Yahshua. Here upon this earth that set up in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. And for the joining of the armies of the Yahshua, allowing him to fight for them. While on the other hand, there shall be feverish war preparation among those who refuse to awaken, hurling all into a super armament program. They turn even their farm implements into weapons of war against the kingdom of Yahshua for his purified church. Joel 3:9-12, Zechariah 12:3. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings shall be brought. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahshua, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. That's Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Yahshua is the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 60:11-14. For further study on this phase of the subject, see the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 173-181, explaining Micah 4, and as a typical example of how the battle is the Yahshua, read 2 Chronicles 15:19-24-30. But being far, very far from such high and holy estate, the church must be purified. It said, for no apostolic, antitypical apostolic believer of any faith can honestly deny the church's need of the purification. And as the Yahshua never does anything without the forewarning of the church, he is now sending unto her the message of the purification in order for the giving her a foretaste of the future glory, so that as the heavens turn call for the Reformation continues sounding forth among his people, they may have a keen relish for its truth and may give themselves wholeheartedly in the work of the reform. Right now, while he is clearly trying before them the plan for the setting up of his kingdom with the consequent result for the sinners, those who give implicit heed unto the call shall have an irresistible desire for the coming fully into the line and to have the Yeshua separate them from sin and sinners. For they alone shall receive the seal of Yahweh and as the first fruits of the kingdom, 144,000 strong stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Such a state of the holiness will today, just as in the past, cause the dragon to be wroth with the woman, also now for the making of the war with her remnant, Revelation 12:17. As a conflict which is further described in the words, I saw the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth at the time of the sealing of the 144,000 holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, the United States proper, neither the sea, nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads. Revelation 7:1-3. Here are brought to view two hurlings about to take place, one by the winds, the other by the angels, and two commands unto the angels, one that they restrain the winds, that the winds blow not on the earth, the United States proper, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, Revelation 7:1. For the other, that the angels restrain themselves from hurting the earth, sea and the trees, until the servants of Yahweh are sealed, Revelation 7:2-3. Since therefore, as soon as the servants of Yahweh are sealed, both the winds and the angels will begin to hurt, for the question arises as to what the work of the winds and the work of the angels represent, political strife or something else. As the nations have always been at war, this two-fold work of the hurting could not represent political strife, and as the Yahshua said, that at the time of the end, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, Matthew 24:7, for it is clear that the hurting by the winds also, as the hurting by the angels, both of which are kept back until the 144,000 are sealed, must be figurative of the holding back of the time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, Daniel 12:1, accordingly, Yahweh's restraining of the four winds is his holding back of the image of the beast activity, Revelation 13:15-17. Activity against the saints, while his restraining the four angels that they hurt not, was holding back the executing of his vengeance. Isaiah 63:1-4, Jeremiah 51:18, upon the sinner who troubled the church until after sin 144,000 is completed. Being troubled, these two hurtings bring the time of trouble such as never was. This brings the end of our first Texas Hour. Contact us at the 11th Hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
Title, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, in high side gaining every day, till playing has never done. I plant my feet on higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. I plant my feet on higher ground. God has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell like these abound, my prayer, my hand is higher ground. And lift me up and let me stand. Faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. I'll plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts set me a hurl. Her faith is called a joyful sound, a song of saints on higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plan than I have found. I plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I found. Yeah, lead me on to higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. I plant my feet on higher ground.